Welcome to the Talent Development Hot Seat Podcast, the number one podcast for learning and talent development professionals.
Find a few people that are excited about AI and could be champions. Get them together, work on a small little project, learn and grow from each other. Do an hour session each week where you really just learn and grow, play around with the tools, come back and say, and then publish that to the organization. Because then you'll have the champions internally for that change management that will be able to say to their colleagues, yeah, this is why this is working for me. And they're like, oh, okay, tell me more. And so I think that's the best way to approach this right now is build those pilots and build champions.
Now here's your host, Andy Storch.
Welcome to the Talent Development Hot Seat Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Storch, and I'm excited that you're joining me today for another great episode and conversation to help you up your game and improve your capabilities in the world of talent development. And today we're going to be talking about a couple different things. One is about setting up a new HR and talent development operation and some of the things that come with that. And the second is leveraging AI more in HR and talent development and how you can get started, some ideas for you to not only get started, but really up your game in AI. I know we've already talked about this a little bit recently with some different episodes, as well as the webinar that we broadcast with my friend Josh Ermler just a few weeks back. Hopefully you've been enjoying those. I know AI is such a hot subject, something that everybody is trying to figure out how to get better at, or people are just curious about learning more about because they know that it's only going to continue to grow from here. It's not something that's going to go away. So I'm committed to educating as much as possible about AI and giving you new and different ideas for how you can leverage AI. And so when I met my guest today and heard that he was speaking in different organizations, different conferences about using AI in HR, I knew I needed to get him on. My guest today is Paul Carney, who helps leaders harness the power of people as the Chief Human Resources Officer at Carter Bank and Trust, a $4 billion community bank with locations in Virginia and North Carolina. He's an accomplished author and speaker and has more than 30 years of experience in business, IT, and as an HR professional and career advocate. Paul often explains that he is a business person who manages HR while being a trusted advisor to his business partners. He wrote and published his first book, Move Your Ash, Know, Grow, and Show Your Career Value in 2018, and Paul has been designated a certified artificial intelligence or AI expert and certified prompt engineer by the Blockchain Council. Paul is not only a CHRO, but he is someone who is on a mission to spread the word about AI and using AI in HR and talent development. So I was excited to get him on. The other interesting thing that I learned after I had finished recording and didn't get a chance to get this into our conversation, but Paul is not only an expert on AI and HR, he's also a wine connoisseur as well. And he and his wife, Lisa, have achieved their level 2 award in wine. And I got a chance to talk with him more about that outside of our recording. And it sounded very interesting. Just another thing that we can learn about and we can get better. But I really want to focus in our interview about not only growing HR, but of course, AI as well. I also want to let you know that Paul has also agreed already to be a guest speaker in the talent development think tank community that I run. We bring in guest speakers on a regular basis, and it's really all about connecting people in talent development with experts and each other to help them up their game, improve their capabilities, and achieve more career success in the world of talent development. We also have a conference coming up in November, and you can find out all the information about both by going to our website, tdtt.us. That's tdtt.us. All right, without further ado, here is my conversation with Paul Carney, CHRO of Carter Bank and Trust. Enjoy. All right, I'm joined now by Paul Carney, CHRO at Carter Bank. Paul, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how are you?
Fantastic, man. It's good to see you. We connected recently through a mutual friend on LinkedIn, had a great conversation the other day, and I was really intrigued by your journey into sort of creating or revamping the HR function with this bank that you're with, as well as all the things that you've been out there doing and teaching HR and talent development professionals about using AI. And so I'm excited to dig into both of those things with you. But I know you come from more of a tech background, right? I'm curious about your background and how you got into HR in the first place.
Yeah, you know, thanks, Andy. I'm not your typical human resources, chief human resources officer. I get that a lot of times when I talk about people about things, and they say, you're not the typical. I said, no, I'm not, which is why I'm out there doing the things I do. So yeah, I kind of fell into HR. I'm a techie guy by trade, built my first websites when I saw the first browser back in 1992, built and sold, helped sell three different companies since then, tech companies. So, and then fell into HR and fell into Carter Bank when they really needed, the company about 7 years ago was going through a major transformation and needed an HR function. They really didn't have HR. They really, it was a 1,000-person bank, $4.5 billion in assets across the two states, Virginia and North Carolina, and there was just payroll. There was nothing else. So I had to come in and build an entire HR function literally from scratch, which was a lot of fun, a lot of effort. I did it starting about 6 years ago, and that was a blast. That's what I've been working on a lot since then.
Wow, that's really cool. I'm curious because you kind of just said, hey, I was in tech and I had these startups and I fell into HR. Like, why you? Why did they call on you for this CHR role?
So I worked for a very large financial institution that has an incredible HR. Their learning and development team was phenomenal. Our HR team was 350 people, and a large chunk of that were learning and development, which was a good focus on that company because they realized how important that was. So what happened was I came into the company as the leader of some technology projects. They knew I had a teaching because I was a high school math teacher at the beginning of my career. I was a certified trainer in a lot of different technologies, and I was a leader. And they literally came to me and said, we want to pick you up and move you over here to be in charge of our learning and development facilitators. Like, I had never done facilitation really, but they said, we believe that, I've realized later, they had a high potential program. They identified me and said, we can move him over here and he can do this. So they put me in charge of learning and development. I learned a lot about learning and development. Then they were like, well, let's put you in charge of the entire operations center, all of HR, employee relations, payroll, benefits, talent acquisition. I'm like, I've never run these teams before. They're like, you'll figure it out. We have faith in you. And that's how it happened.
Threw you in. What a great challenge. What an amazing opportunity to really get out of your comfort zone and grow. And I love when things like that happen in our careers. I'm curious, from someone coming from a tech background, moving into L&D and HR, what were some advantages you had that you didn't come from a traditional L&D background coming in? And what was like one of the biggest challenges, like really learning curves, things you had to learn coming in?
So I would say the advantages I had was having done startups, we grew them. So we grew staff. So you figure out pretty much on the street how to manage people, how to get them to be effective. We had some very highly effective teams, and we kind of built them serendipitously. But we went back and said, how did we get here? How do we get these really highly effective teams? And we kind of researched it and said, okay, we must have been doing something right. So when I got to L&D and started learning what true learning and development and researching it, I discovered, oh yeah, I guess that was some of the stuff we were doing, right? So it really was a reinforcement or an additional learning of what we actually were doing. But then we kind of, you know, like things like emotional intelligence and how to motivate people, we kind of just did what worked. But then I got to understand and learn, oh, this is why it worked, which was a lot of fun, that discovery process. The most challenging piece was, like I said, I'm not just in charge of training people. I'm in charge of the training folks. I'm in charge of people who actually facilitate. So as you know, going in and training someone on software is one thing, but bringing up a big topic, we did this one called Lincoln on Leadership, and getting people in a room, 25 people in a room to talk about it. It's not just the person in the front of the room facilitating, saying all the stuff. It's actually everyone in the room talking. But when you've got a room of quiet, they're sitting there not saying anything. Right. Your job is to get them to talk with each other. That's the hard part. That was probably the most challenging for me, was to figure out how does that work?
Yeah, that is always a challenge. I've been facilitating workshops for over 10 years, and there's always challenges like, how do I handle this situation? How do we get these people to talk? And I love watching
others. Or get the person who's talking the whole time to, okay, all right, let Mary over here talk.
Right, exactly. always a challenge. And I love watching other people in action and learning from them as well. I didn't plan on this. I want to talk about other things, but you mentioned LinkedIn and leadership workshop. What was that all about?
So, you know, it was that was a little bit more about working with the folks to figure out how social media was going to impact everything. And we used LinkedIn because it was more business professional than looking at the other more personal social medias. And we used LinkedIn a lot in our talent acquisition team. So it was really, how do we use this? What does that mean? Mm. And it was great. I mean, this is in the early days of LinkedIn. I just got my 20th anniversary letter from LinkedIn because I've been on LinkedIn for 20 years.
Wow. I didn't know they did that. That's interesting. I think I looked back and somehow you can find it somewhere. And I think it showed I joined in 2005. So you're saying I might have a letter coming next year.
You will have. They do send you a welcome, congratulations, 20th year. Yeah, because I went back. If you look at your, you can export your connections and see the first connection you made and when you joined.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I did a post on that on LinkedIn probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. I did a post that says, here's how you can download all your connections and see who and when you connected with them.
That's interesting. I just hit, I think, 20,000 connections or something. So I would love to go back and see what is my first, who was my very first connection, and then go back and reconnect. What a fun exercise.
I'll send you that post. And and I posted a post that said, here are the first 10 connections and tag them all. So wow. I'll send you the post so you can see
it. All right, I'm going to do that too. There's a takeaway already for people listening. We'll put a link to the show notes to that post. Go find out who your first connection was, when you joined LinkedIn, how long you've been on. Very interesting. And I'd love to talk to you more about LinkedIn. I see you on there every day ever since you and I connected. I know you're very active on there. So if we have time, I'd love to come back to that. But I want to talk about your first year journey at Carter Bank, because it sounded like there wasn't very much of an HR function before you came in. Like you said, payroll, and that was it. Maybe like someone there to make sure people followed the rules, like the very classic traditional HR, right? But tell me about the journey and what you've created since you've come in there.
Yeah. And there were six people, but they pretty much all just did payroll and whatever benefits they had. Like, that's it. They all were generalists, kind of just playing with payroll. There were no job descriptions. There was no performance review. There was no compensation schedule, no salary grades. I mean, literally, Mr. Carter, the namesake who passed away in 2017, and really that his getting sick caused the change over here with a new executive team coming in. But I had to start with job descriptions. We had to build job descriptions for all of our roles. And then we had to build up all of the other areas, like in employee relations. There was no employee relations. There was no talent development. There was no learning and development. There just wasn't. 1,000 employees were doing quite well. And the bank was doing quite well. So the whole question was, how in the world did they get there? So yeah, one of the best parts I love about it was, you know, and I had to start with job descriptions, because job descriptions are really the central of everything. They're used for attracting people to your organization, defining what you're expecting them to do, holding them accountable. And if you have to go to discipline levels, I mean, that job description is really so important. So just getting that done, and then across a couple hundred jobs, and then going from there. I remember the first time when I introduced the performance review concept, just a simple little Word document, and I asked them to actually fill it out themselves before they gave it to their managers. Oh my gosh, you should have seen that. Wow. I mean, I knew it was going to be a challenge, but wow, was that a challenge.
What was the biggest challenge there? People were resistant to going through any type of process, to filling it out themselves, to having the conversation.
Yeah, it was somewhat the change management, which I was ready for, you know, a good talent development person or learning development person will know you've got change management issues to deal with. But really, it was getting them to understand kind of what you're all about with what you do, how to help them understand how to express themselves, how to look at themselves carefully and figure out what have they been doing, what value are they adding to their job, and being able to express that, in this case, in written form. And that was the biggest challenge. So we really had to back up. I did some videos, I did workshops, and said, here's, related to the stuff I wrote in my book too, is here's how you identify that stuff and show it. Here's how you show the value you're bringing. That was probably the biggest one. And we're doing better today. I'll tell you, people actually, while no one really looks forward to doing their performance review, it's not as much of a chore. In fact, I even created a Track My Greatness worksheet for people, a spreadsheet that has our 5 competencies, our core values, and it gives them and say, here, keep track of the things you're doing around these. And we even have a thing in there that says how these show up in action. Just keep track of the stuff. And then later on, when you're ready to do your review, you've got your document in front of you to kind of remember the stuff that you did 9 months ago that you're not going to remember today.
Now, were those competencies and values in place already before you came, or did you put those in place? I imagine the values were there. No,
the values were sort of there, but not defined. There wasn't like a defined value set out there. So I kind of looked at the culture and said, all right, I think these are the values. and selected five competencies from my background and knowledge, using a lot of stuff from Korn Ferry and all the others. So, and then we just revamped last year, because I brought in a new VP of talent development a couple of years ago, who's helped me really grow talent development. We were ready for it. And we revised the core values as a company. And then he worked to help me revise the competencies to match the core values and really help us. And they're really spot on now. They're much better. Yeah.
That's great to hear. So the company, it sounds like there wasn't very much HR. So I'm assuming there was no learning and development, talent development before. And this is a talent development podcast. You just mentioned you brought in a VP of learning development, which I would imagine was a big step, a big investment for the organization. Can you tell us about what that journey was and how, what sort of things have been implemented in terms of training, learning and development since then?
Yeah. So again, you know, and I had the idea. I knew what I needed to do. The CEO in my interview, he said to me, I want us to be a preferred company to work for. Do you know how to do that? I said, I do. I know the steps to get there. It's going to be a building process. He's like, that's okay. We just need you to come in and build. So of course I had to start building blocks of getting basic foundational job descriptions, performance review. We weren't ready for leadership development, true leadership development. And I focused on it and said, okay, rather than going after just all talent development, career development, helping people understand what's going on, developing the leaders is important first. We got to make sure all the leaders are on board and understand what we're expecting of them and what they should expect. So that's where I started. And it was time, about 2 years ago, it was time to say, all right, I need to build a true talent development function, leadership development included in that. And, you know, I looked around the organization and we just didn't have anyone in the organization that was at that level and was ready for it. So we looked outside and found a phenomenal guy who's just been incredible to help us figure it all out. He's also great in compensation. He can take a job description and use our tools out in the market and come back with the compensation structure where it fits. And he loves doing that, which I don't expect that role, but he does it and he's great at it. So
very cool.
Okay. And of course, all the restructuring. Every time an executive comes in and says, hey, we're thinking about changing this structure up, he's great at helping walking them through that sort of workforce planning. Where do you want this to be? Yeah. And then let's build to that. And so that's actually another huge function in talent development is not just what you need today. What's this organization going to look like in the future?
Yeah, very true. And a lot of people are trying to figure that out now. What are the skills needed? Where are things going? So how do you think about figuring out where things need to be in the future, what skills are needed, and then what learning programs to put in place?
Yeah, so that is the challenge, of course. It's twofold. One is you've got to really, and this is one of the things I say constantly to HR professionals, and one of the advantages I have is having a strong business background and coming into HR. I view HR differently than a lot of HR people do, but I'm trying to convince HR folks that you've got to really understand the business. You better understand every aspect of the operation. So like in banking, I better understand how the retail banking works, how the commercial banking, how the deposit operations, people don't know there's a thing called deposit operations when you're a bank. It's a very specific function, loan operations. You have to understand that so that you can then help them see where is that going to go in the future. You know, when fintech came along, everyone's like, oh, banks are going to disappear and all stuff. We're still here. There's still a lot we're doing and we're still going to be here for quite a while. The question is, right, you've got to understand how they work and what they're trying to do, then to guide them to, all right, so this is the type of people we see you're going to need. And then you go out and, of course, map your skills and do all that. But it really starts with that understanding what they're doing. And then you're the guide that says, all right, here's where the people fit into that.
Yeah. And what sort of, just to finish on this, because we are all about talent development here, you know, what sort of programs have you put into place? What have you learned from, you know, just starting up talent development programs for the first time?
So, you know, we did actually went to lunch with Litz as our CEO, and a couple months in, he sat down with me and says, all right, I want to develop a way to develop our future talent. And so I said, okay, I've done emerging leaders program type before. So we started an emerging leaders program. So really it gets down to doing programs like that, where you start to identify, and I know high potential is a word that's been used a lot and thrown around. Some people like it, some people don't, because it's like, well, that's not, you know, that's just focused on certain people. Everyone's got high potential. It's just mapping to figure out what potential do they have, where do they fit into the future organization? And that's what I'm focused on, is developing those programs. We're fortunate that we have bank associations in Virginia and North Carolina, the North Carolina Bank Association, Virginia Bank Association, that are very strong and have very strong bank programs, school programs to get people through banking schools. So we identify the folks that belong there. And we're always mapping people to say, okay, so you finished bank school, you came through our emerging leaders, what's next for them? And that's the thing that we're doing, is looking at programs. We just launched a book club this year, which is the first book club that Carter Banks ever had. That's been a phenomenal success. We're doing things like DISC training, which is helping people understand a little bit more about how they work and how they work with others. That has been huge. We've got teams doing it left, right, up, and down now, which is great. I love to see that teams are engaging with that and embracing it, because people come out of it going, hey, you got to take your team over there and learn. You won't believe when you walk out of there how much the team will understand about each other and work together better. Yeah. So it's those types of programs that we're focused on today.
Oh, that's very interesting. And it seems like certainly on a journey evolution, I'm sure there's more to do. Yes. But I would imagine this is already making a really big impact with regards to the goal the CEO stated to you about wanting this to be a great place to work. And, you know, we both know from looking at the data and the studies and the information out there that people want to know how are they going to be able to develop and grow in their careers. And so if you walk into a company and find out there's no development opportunities, that's probably going to be low on your list if you're someone that's interested in growing your career.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'm a data guy. So a techie is a data guy. I actually was a database engineer back in the day. So I capture a lot of data and we analyze it. I can tell you right now, our attrition rate, in other words, our attrition rate is less than 2% a month, which is really not heard of, especially when you consider retail banking is like a retail thing. But what's really fun is over the past 2 years with this management development program, it's a 2-day mandatory program. We put every leader in the organization through it now, and anyone new comes in, goes through it. We can point specifically that once we started that about a year in, our main role, which is a financial services representative, what you would call a teller, we call them FSRs, we have cut in half the 90-day turnover rate for those FSRs by training our leaders better. So wow. We didn't train the FSRs differently. We trained the leaders on how to manage, how to motivate, how to lead, how to coach, how to discipline. And that we've seen a direct impact.
That's amazing and really great testament to great leadership development. I'm Absolutely. Just curious, one more question on that. Is there one or two things you'd pull out to say like, hey, teaching this one or two skills seems to move the needle the most in terms of raising engagement, attrition, like helping them lead better?
So, you know, honestly, it was about coaching and one-on-one sessions, having one-on-ones. People come out. So we, at the end of the days, we always ask, what one thing do you take away from this? And for the most part, we get a lot of folks saying, I never structured my one-on-ones like this, because we suggest once a quarter, take one of those competencies and say to the person before the meeting, we're going to discuss this. We want to talk about what have you been doing, which of course, you know, then helps them understand what they've been adding for values. Mm-hmm. When it comes to performance review time, no one's surprised. So there's a reason to do that, but that's one of the ones that people found the most. Now, what's really funny is, again, we've got people coming into this organization. We got leaders that have been at Carter Bank for 30 years, and they have to come to this program. And at the end, we've had many of them be very open and honest with us and say, you know, at the end of 2 days, I thought this was going to be a waste of time. I've been a leader for 25. I don't need this. And they're like, but I was so wrong. I've learned things I did not know. And of course, our job is to level set everyone. I don't care if you've come in from the outside or been here forever, or you're brand new to leadership. Here's how we do it at Carter Bank. But we get that feedback, which is really good. To us, to Sean and I, it's just awesome to hear that people who think it's going to be a waste of time actually walk out going, this was worth it.
It was worth it. I learned something, and kudos to them for opening their mind, right? And being willing to come in and learn and want to be a better leader. That's really cool.
They weren't necessarily willing because they were told they had to go through the program. But what's fascinating is our culture, and we do this purposely, is the type that they will tell us that. Because some of them will just walk away and never tell you that they're open and honest and realize we're there for them. And that's what I always tell, you know, in HR, we're advisors. I don't run the business. My name's not on the job offer letter. My name's not on the termination letter. The leader's name is on there. So our job is just to advise everyone. You know, talent development too is we can advise, we can talk about risks and things, but in the end, the leaders run the business.
Yeah, really interesting. Okay, so in addition to your role as CHRO, on the side, we'll say, you also have a business.
Other brand.
Yeah, your other brand, the other things you're doing. you speak in a lot of organizations and you're out there teaching, seem to be on a mission to teach more HR and talent development professionals how to leverage AI better to do their jobs better. This is a topic that I'm really interested in, fascinated about. I think most people are, a lot of people are. And of course, everybody's in a different place on the spectrum. I see the writing on the wall. I know AI is taking over everything, that it has the potential to be a huge asset to people in talent development if they're willing to try stuff and leverage it. And it also has the ability to be a really big disruptor for people that are not willing to embrace it. So I want to be a conduit to help educate people on how they can be using AI better. So I was really excited to have you on the show to ask you or interview you and hear about some of the things that you have been teaching and hearing out there as far as best practices for HR and AI.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, it's again, when I saw that web browser back in 1992, I had used the internet. People forget the web is just one piece of the internet.
Right.
I used Telnet and Gopher. There's other protocols. Mail is actually a protocol on the internet. And I saw that web browser and said, this is going to change the way we do things. And of course, I ended up being right, starting those three different companies and showing you can do so many different things with this. But when I saw ChatGPT in December of 2022, of course, OpenAI just threw that out there. They weren't telling anyone this thing was coming, and they just threw this tool, and we started using it going, oh, this is different. And then as I started playing with it more, going, wait a minute, this is really different. Mm. That's when I realized and started my little mission to say, this is going to change the way we all work. This is going to replace a lot of capabilities, not necessarily jobs, but a lot of things we do. And that's when I said, wait a minute, as an HR person, I got to figure this out. Because like, how am I going to train people how to use this tool effectively, safely? And then I start saying, well, I got to teach other HR people, because when I typically talk to HR people, I find that they're not very business oriented. They're not necessarily tech savvy. A lot of HR folks will stay away from tech.
They're focused on the people.
That's when I started, raising the alarm saying, you can't ignore this. You might have been able to ignore Word and Excel for a long time, which is an analogy I use. You know, look how long it took people to figure out how to use those tools effectively, if they still do.
Right.
This one you cannot ignore. This one has to be a part of your, because here's the issue with HR and learning development people. It's not only that you've got to figure out how to use it for you and your career, but then we're going to be accountable and responsible for all of the employees in the organization. Setting up policies, guidelines, training them, showing them how to do it. That's on us. And don't rely on the IT people to do that, please. That's HR.
Yeah.
So in learning and development, the talent development people. So that's even more reason for HR people because, you know, as I say, and I see people when I speak, they're afraid. When I ask at the beginning of speeches, and I've done this now for about 400 HR professionals since the beginning of the year, I ask, how many of you have at least dabbled or played with AI, some type of AI tool? Only about a third to a half raise their hands.
Hmm.
And that just floors me. I've had to modify my speech lately because I'm like, I have to step up back a few steps.
Yeah.
I thought that? I was up here teaching you this. No, I could go all the way back here and say, all right, let's start here.
Right. Okay. So let's just assume that for our audience, I think we have a little bit more of a progressive, tech savvy kind of audience. Good. But let's assume at least 50% have been kind of playing with AI, but that would still mean that half the people listening might have, you know, obviously have heard about it, but just don't know where to get started. So let's start there. How do you recommend people, especially in HR, get started with learning about and using AI?
So the first thing is go find a tool, and it's hard to avoid them because they're popping up everywhere. I opened up my Adobe PDF reader the other day and the AI assistant is now a part of that thing. I mean, it's Microsoft's got Copilot, Google's building it into all their products, and you can go out to OpenAI. In fact, OpenAI just changed ChatGPT now. You don't even need an account. You can just go to OpenAI, open up ChatGPT and start asking. It's got limited responses, but you can just start asking it. So my thing I say to people is find a way to just go play with it. And sometimes it's personal. You know, sometimes it's just go ask it to generate a meal plan for this week based on a couple of things you like and don't like. I mean, just start simple and you'll start to discover, wow, that's pretty cool how it did that. And of course, then as you start to get a better prompt together, you'll get it to give you a lot more detailed information. But it really is just go play with it. And that's one of the reasons, one of the step backs I did, if you saw that, I used to publish a newsletter I started on LinkedIn that was about how to be a master of Gen AI. I stopped. I actually sunsetted that this past week. And I'm doing my prompt a day. I've committed myself starting April 1st. I'm putting a prompt a day out on LinkedIn every day, every week, all year long.
Wow.
And I'm focused on basically just try this one. Try this one. Some people might not like the topic, say, okay, cybersecurity for small business, not of interest to me. But personal development, how to manage remote teams. That was one that just came out, I think, yesterday or today. Actually, it was today's.
Yep.
So, right. You know, try it. Just copy and paste it, add a little bit of your data, and hit run and see what you get.
Let's use that example of, and I saw your post today about managing remote teams. How do you think about leveraging AI, or what kind of prompt helped with that?
So it's, again, if you look at the prompt, there's some certain aspects of managing a remote team that you might not have thought about. And what I love about prompts like that is when you see a sample prompt, and I always tell people, just take one piece of it. If you're like, well, what does that have to do with the prompt, with prompting? It just grab that and say, tell me more about this topic when it comes to remote teams. It's just a simple prompt like that. And you'll be amazed at what it starts to tell you. And then you can like, okay, let me take pieces of that, because here's a challenge I've had. And then add that to the original prompt and say, all right, now given this challenge I've got with teams, give me three things I should start doing or do differently to help my team stay engaged or pay attention. And that's the thing I teach people is it's a conversation. It really is a great conversation with one of the smartest people you will ever meet. Now, of course, I do say it's like a 7-year-old, but that's for another reason. But it's the smartest person you're ever going to meet, because it's got a wealth of information, not necessarily knowledge, information.
Yep. Right. Okay. And so for those in talent development land that have played with it a little bit and want to kind of sharpen their skills and start using it more, what things have you seen? What best practices have you seen? What tools do you see people using that are really helpful?
So one of the things that I think is most helpful is to take an existing program you've got and say, for this program, and the just a highlight of it, be careful uploading all your entire data, because these open source language, you know, these open languages, large language models will take your data, could possibly learn from it. Someone could type in later saying, tell me what company X is doing with this program, and it will tell them because it learned. So be careful if you can't put that data out there, but you can create a summary of your program and say, given this summary of what we're doing, what are other ways we can hit these types of goals? Our goals are this. What can we do to hit these objectives that we're not thinking of? And that's another cool thing about it, is you can say, give me ideas that we may not be thinking about that are sort of outside of the box. And it will give you some ideas. So you can take that, people have taken that to say, well, let's enhance our program a little bit to change it up a bit. Let's not just have it be a PowerPoint presentation. Let's do something different or an activity that's tied to that concept that you hadn't thought of. So that's the first thing I've seen people do be very successful. The second thing is analyzing sort of response data. So if you've got data that comes out of your program where you're watching people, you know, the Kirkpatrick levels of 1, 2, 3, and 4, one is, did they like the place that, did they like the whole session? That's a different one. But you can take that data and say, analyze this and tell me things we may need to look at to improve our program. And that's another thing. It will come up with ways of looking at your data, summarizing it and synthesizing it to give you ideas of, okay, I didn't see that nuance of people are reporting this. Okay, let's modify our program. So again, learning how to enhance your programs.
What else do you often recommend? Because I know you speak in a lot of places too. You just spoke recently at a conference to L&D professionals about using AI. What are things that we need to be thinking about, or you know, other tips for how we can get the most out of this new technology?
So one of the most powerful things, and I say this is a bonus prompt I give people when you're stuck with something, ask the engine, and you can do this on any of them, ask it, what three questions should I ask you to learn more about this topic or to solve this issue? It's a fascinating thing, because you wouldn't normally do that with a very smart human. Yeah. I wouldn't walk up to you and say, Andy, tell me the three things I should ask you to learn everything you've learned in all of your years. I mean, because you'd look at me going, well, I don't know. And so, but you can ask these engines and it will actually come back with some stuff. So I recommend to a lot of learning and development folks, if you've got challenges going on or want to develop programs, ask it, what should I be asking you? And then take those prompt responses and go ask it certain things. So that's one of the things that I think learning and development folks can do today to help them understand. But here's the other thing, and it's that challenge of, you know, you would not imagine Amazon would not exist today like it does without the web and the mobile phone being around, correct? If 20 years ago, if I told you, you'd be able to order anything and almost get it delivered to you that afternoon for free shipping, and you would laugh. We'd all laugh at each other, or, you know, the social media concept. The other thing I say to learning folks is think about how to use these tools to do things that are not just replacing or enhancing what we're doing today, but can do entirely new stuff. Virtual reality in training is one of the ways that you could change how to train people, do onboarding with virtual reality. Those things are just mind-blowingly different than the experience you have today.
Yeah, very true. There's so many new ways to think about learning and development. And I think it's a good point. Like, it's not just about, well, let me have it help me do this one thing faster, but still do it the same way. But can we actually completely revamp how we approach this? Think about doing things completely differently. You know, start with the end in mind. Maybe there's some new or better ways to do it. And if I just ask AI, ask ChatGPT, like you said, hey, what else should I be thinking of? What questions can I be asking? What other information do you think I need to really make this an effective program?
Yeah, that's where when you say that to people and I talk to people about it, it's exciting, but then they just start to get anxious and like, oh my gosh, that thing is weird. So you got to be careful because they start to back away going, I don't know about this. So that's what's the balance. And I found that balance when I talk all the time about this. You know, I give the example of taxi companies had GPS years ago so they could get dispatching better. Right? Mm-hmm. They could then figure out where a taxi was and dispatch people when someone needed to be picked up and brought to the airport. They missed the opportunity, though, to create the Uber and the Lyft concept.
Right.
Right? They could have created apps that just said, well, let you be the dispatcher. Yep. They didn't pay attention to that. They used that technology to make their world better, but only their world, not create a whole new world.
Mm. So I'll use your own prompt against you, Paul. What question should I be asking you to get more and better information for our listeners?
The question you should ask is, what should I do each day to learn? I mean, that to me is, that's the question. What should I do each day to continue learning?
Writing that down. What should I be doing each day to continue learning? So what should I be doing each day to continue my learning? Is it a matter of just playing with different tools? Because most of the platforms we have now have AI built into them in some way, some fashion or form. So are you kind of one of those people that says, hey, challenge yourself to use AI daily or weekly in different ways just to play around with it? Should we think about getting more strategic and say, just pick one big project and try to use AI to make sense of data or something like that?
Yeah, I would say, well, first of all, find resources you trust that are out there helping, that can help you learn and grow. Those are the types of resources you want to follow, listen to, buy their books, whatever they're doing out there. And then when you start doing that, challenge other people. So like, especially in learning and development, challenge others in your organization, in your team to say, what are you doing? Because then you can kind of show, if you show you, well, here's what I'm doing, then you can challenge them to say, well, what are you doing? And if they say nothing, you say, well, I think you need to be doing something because it's learning development. We need to get them there. And then the final thing is, I don't know that I'd recommend taking on a big project and figuring out AI. What we've done successfully, and I've guided some other teams to do, develop a pilot project. Find some champions within your organization. And again, it helps if it's across some teams, but even if you just focus on one small division or department, find a few people that are excited about AI and could be champions, get them together, work on a small little project, learn and grow from each other, do an hour session each week where you really just learn and grow, play around with the tools, come back and say, and then publish that to the organization, because then you'll have the champions internally for that change management that will be able to say to their colleagues, yeah, this is why this is working for me. And they're like, oh, okay, tell me more. And so I think that's the best way to approach this right now is build those pilots and build champions.
What if you work for an organization, we'll say a very conservative organization that is saying, hey, don't bring in new technology without the agreement from IT. Don't play with AI. We don't want you sharing any data. What if you're in a situation like that?
You got to put together your business plan and explain why you need to at least do this pilot project and limit it. Even if it's just limited to two or three people, you've got to explain why this is needed, which you'd have to go. And again, there's lots of research. I posted today, this chief executive at IBM talked about they used to have an HR service group that was 800. It's down to 60 people now because they automated all the rote tasks and everything else. I mean, that's just that's just, if that doesn't make people start to change their minds of how this is going to impact jobs, then they better listen. You got to build that business case for the leaders. And then, like I say, start really small. Give them the specific scope of, here are the things we're going to do together. We're going to set policy that customer data and important internal data is not going to be exposed, and just show them, this is what we expect to learn, and we'll come back and show you. Now, again, we're not saying that then the company may decide not to use it, but by the time you're done, you can say, at least we've understood what this is and how it can impact us.
Mm. So many interesting things to think about here, and I'm looking forward to talking more with you about this. Paul, if anybody wants to learn more from you on this topic, it sounds like the best way is to follow you on LinkedIn. You're sharing now daily prompts there. Is that right?
That's true. Yep. They can go out there. I've got the LinkedIn, follow me on LinkedIn and subscribe to the Prompt a Day newsletter that has every day one out there. I also have an email newsletter I do called Promptly HR. It's a little bit more focused on HR people and using AI in HR. My Prompt a Days are more business, as some of them are learning and development focused. My two weekday ones in Prompt a Day are business oriented. The two weekend ones, Saturday and Sunday, are more personal. Like, I had a whole thing about upcycling stuff around your yard and how to build a backyard habitat, how to do prompts for all of this. So the weekend ones are more personal.
I like that. I've been using AI more for travel as well, like plan my itinerary for this trip, and looking forward to using it more and following you and learning from you. Paul, this has been great. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing not only your journey into building HR and talent development at Carter Bank, but also the things that you've learned about leveraging AI in HR and tech and talent development. And I know this is going to be changing all the time. So I'm looking forward to following your posts and your newsletter on LinkedIn, as well as talking with you more in the future.
Excellent. Thanks, Andy. Glad to be here.
Yeah. All right. Take care. All right. That will do it for my conversation with Paul Carney, CHRO of Carter Bank and Trust in North Carolina. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. I thought it was great that we were able to kind of cover two main topics. One, this very interesting journey of him setting up the new HR organization, as there really wasn't much in place before he got there, and creating talent development, learning and development from scratch, as it wasn't really there before, with his new team, as well as all the things that Paul has learned about leveraging AI in HR and talent development over the last couple of years. And really cool to see that he's sharing more with people on a daily basis on LinkedIn. So if you're interested in that, go give him a follow, connect with him on LinkedIn. If you do connect, let him know that you heard him on this show. I'd really appreciate it. And if you're not following me on LinkedIn, give me a follow. I have been posting content consistently and regularly on LinkedIn for several years now, and this has allowed me to connect with and become friends with so many great people on that platform. I enjoy running the Talent Development Think Tank community, where people often find me and then come join the community. And then they're like, ah, I found my people that I can connect with and talk with on a regular basis about the topics that I care about in talent development. That's what we're all about. We bring in guest speakers for our calls, and Paul has already agreed to join us on a call this summer. So if you want to join a session that he's running about using AI in talent development, come join our community. We also have a conference coming up in November 6th and 7th, I believe it is, in Orlando. We got some great speakers lined up, like Claude Silver and Dr. Michelle Roberthen, some very experiential sessions that we're going to be running. It's really going to be the best, the funnest, the most exciting, and the least boring conference you have ever been to. The website with all our information is tdtt.us. That's tdtt.us. And you can put in code HOTSEAT to get 10% off when you join either the community or the conference. And we're happy to do package deals as well. All right. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I hope you'll take this knowledge. I hope you'll go out and try some stuff with AI. Maybe give it a shot now if you haven't already. I hope that you will adopt a growth mindset and that you'll remain curious and keep trying new things. And I also hope that you will take a moment this week to just write down some gratitude for the things that you love about your career and your life. Take care.